Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you, I am going away to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way where I am going. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Lord, said Philip, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been among you all this time without your knowing me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who lives in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And he will do even greater works than these because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and he will be in you.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. As you know, this year we're going through the book of John, the Gospel of John. And we were plowing away, and then we started zigzagging a little bit because we jumped ahead to John 11 for Easter, and then we went back to John 10, and then 12, 13. Now, here we are on John chapter 14. So we had some more school shootings, didn't we? Maybe some of you have experienced a loved one that has died recently. Doubt, depression, divorce, addictions, fears, failures, shame, guilt, broken bones, broken relationships and hearts, the economy, terrorism, sickness, job loss. All these things spell trouble with a capital T. And Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Heart trouble, not trouble that can be corrected with like a glycerin pill underneath your tongue or some kind of surgical performance. I'm referring to what could be called a troubled heart. Does God have a treatment for a troubled heart? A while back, Ann Landers said she would get over 10,000 letters a month. And you know what the number one problem is that people would write to her about? She said, I get more mail concerning this one problem than any other problem. You know what it is? It's fear. The dictionary lists about 700 different kinds of phobias, you know, beginning with A and ending with Z. Acrophobia, the fear of high places. You got claustrophobia, fear of closed places. Theophobia, the fear of God, maybe in a negative way. I suppose the worst fear of all is phobophobia. You know, people are afraid, you know, that they're going to be afraid. So they constantly stay afraid because they're afraid they're going to be afraid. It's kind of a catch-22. About 3 years ago, I asked our confirmation class to list their greatest fears. And here's their list. Suffocating, burning, drowning, parents dying, getting raped, being lonely, the future, the unknown, cancer, losing friends, losing family, failing. All these things create within us a troubled heart. And we could lump them all into, I think, three categories. Number one, death is near. Number two, daily problems. And number three, disobedience. It's exactly what the disciples were going through when Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Think about it. Death is near. I mean, Jesus just told them he was going to die. John chapter 13, their hearts were troubled. I'll tell you what, if you really love someone, you cannot be indifferent if death is haunting their steps. That brings trouble. What about daily problems? Jesus said, well, I'm going away, and you're going to stay. And the disciples were troubled. I mean, how are we going to go on? Jesus, you've been our rock. You've been our stability. Daily problems. People who go through a divorce say more than any other pain is the pain of rejection, the pain of desertion, death, daily problems. What about disobedience? Remember Jesus said to Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. That caused Peter to have a troubled heart. Perhaps you've failed in some area to live according to the biblical standard. I mean, you know it, but you haven't produced. Maybe you've gotten mixed up in some, you know, nasty moral situation that nobody knows about, and you're living in the throes of that right now. Troubled hearts, just weighed down, you know, with shame, with guilt. Death produces fear. Daily problems, they produce frustration, and disobedience produces failure. In short, a troubled heart. And I want to tell you today that God has a treatment for your troubled heart. Dr. Jesus, the great physician, said in John 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. And then Dr. Jesus said in chapter 14, verse 27, we didn't read that, the very same thing. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And sandwiched between those two identical statements are four, I think, tablets of truth that we need to swallow in order to get well. You know, everybody wants a pill to get better. Well, here's some pills to take. Here's some tablets to take. Actually, there's a whole jar full, but we're just going to look at four tablets of truth today for a troubled heart. Tablet number one, first and foremost, a personal faith in a personal Lord will bring personal relief. Look at verse one. Two commands, trust God. It's in the imperative. Trust in me also. You know, believe, trust, believe, trust. And that's what believe means. It means to trust. It means to put all of your weight on. Trust means to rely on. Jesus told those disciples with their long faces, men, believe in me. Trust in me. You've trusted the Lord for eternal life. Trust him for temporal life. You've counted on me for your eternal security. Count on me for your daily needs. A personal faith in a personal Lord will bring personal relief. And that's the first tablet of truth. God is real. You know, we're not singing to the air here. God is real, and he's personal. He's a personal God. There was a little girl walking through the hallway of her home, and she came to a place where they had a cellar door in the floor that went down into the basement. You've seen those. It was one of those doors that went back on a hinge, and there was just a dark hole in the floor. No light was on in the basement, but she heard a noise down there, and so the little girl said, say, who's down there? And her daddy said, well, it's me, your daddy. He said, well, I want to come down there where you are. And he said, well, I've taken the ladder away. He said, if you'll jump, I'll catch you. Well, he could see her because she was up in the light, but she couldn't see him down there in the darkness. And she said, but Daddy, I can't see you. And he said, well, that's all right. I can see you. Just go ahead and jump. But she said, Daddy, I'm afraid. And he said, now, wait a minute, sweetheart. I want to ask you a few questions. Do you believe that I'm down here? And she said, well, of course I do. I'm talking to you. He said, all right. Do you believe I'm strong enough to catch you? She said, Daddy, I know you're strong enough to catch me. He said, all right. Do you believe that I love you? Well, Daddy, I know that you love me. All right. Now let me ask you one more question. Have I ever told you a lie? No, Daddy, you've never told me a lie. All right. Well, if you know I'm here, and if you know I love you, and if you know I'm strong enough to catch you, and if you know I've never told you a lie, then jump. And she said, okay, Daddy, here I come. And she just stepped off into that black hole. And of course, her daddy let her fall and crack her head on the cement floor. No, he caught her and gave her a little hug and set her down. And for that girl, it was not a leap in the dark. It was a step right in to the light, resting in the arms of her father. Dr. Jesus says, trust in God. Trust also in me. A personal faith in a personal Lord will bring personal relief. That's tablet number one. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Amen? All right. The second tablet of truth is found in verses 2 and 3. It says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Now, here's the principle. Listen. While preparing a place for us, the Lord is preparing us for a place. I think there's two construction projects going on here. Not only is Jesus building heaven, he's building you, child of God. And believe it or not, God will use trials. And he'll use trouble as the hammer and the chisel to perfect you and prepare you for that wonderful place. And Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have what? He said, you're going to have trouble. I mean, we're skipping ahead to John 16, 33 now. But he said, in this world, you will have trouble. And that's a promise that you can take to the bank. Ah, but there's a place. Kind of like that black preacher that preached at the royal wedding. Huh? There's a place, like the black preachers tell us. And I tell you, this is not it. This world is not it. We could become greatly depressed. This world is nothing compared to what God has in store for those who love him. E.V. Hill, one of my favorite black preachers, used to say, one of the problems with the name it and claim it crowd is there ain't nothing worth naming and claiming down here. This is just temporary stuff. It's fictitious stuff. It's imitation stuff. Everything we see has been through the fall and suffered the damnation of sin. And we have never seen a beautiful rose. We have never seen a lovely sunset. Everything we have seen is under this Adamic curse of sin. Oh, but one morning, says the black preacher, when the smoke has rolled away, and we shall see him as he is, and we shall behold the earth as it was, then we shall see a flower that doesn't fade away. But this is not it. You think you got a nice house? It's an outhouse compared to the Father's house. Remember that old gospel hymn, trials dark on every hand, we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land, but we will follow him till we die. And we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God shall gather home, we'll tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Dr. Alan Redpath put it well. He said, the conversion of a soul is the miracle of a moment, but the making of a saint, it's the task of a lifetime. God is still working on me. Amen. Is he still working on you? Yeah, while preparing a place for us, God is preparing us for a place. I don't know about you, but it gives me great comfort to know that God has a place for me. He's got a place for you. And if you want to go to that place, it's one way. It's one way, Jesus. One way, Jesus. There's no other way. It's through Jesus Christ. And he said in verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, when Billy Graham was alive, he would tell a story of the time earlier in his career when he arrived in this real small town to preach. And wanting to mail a letter, he asked the young boy where the post office was. And the boy told him, and Billy invited him to come hear him speak that evening on how to get to heaven. And the little boy shook his head and said, well, man, if you don't know where the post office is, how are you going to know the way to heaven? Well, I know someone who knows. Jesus said, I am the way. Without him, there's no going. I am the truth. Without him, there's no knowing. I am the life. Without him, there is no living. While preparing a place for us, God is preparing us for a place. Another tablet of truth, another pill to swallow. First, let me review. Tablet number one, a personal faith and a personal God will bring personal relief. Tablet number two. While preparing a place for us, the Lord is preparing us for a place. And now, tablet number three. The sovereign hand of God is at work in your life. Think about that. In verse 8, Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. I mean, what a tremendous thought. Jesus, God in the flesh, said, when I speak, it's the Father who's speaking through me. When I do a deed, it's the Father that is doing a deed through me. And so the Lord says to us the same thing. The Father abiding in you is doing his works. I know a guy, how you ask him how it's going, and he'll give you this kind of mystical answer. He'll just say, the sovereignty of God. You know, how you doing? The sovereignty of God. Okay. You know, in other words, God's at work. He's taken charge. He's in control. He's still on the throne. In the midst of all the stuff we talked about at the beginning of this sermon, he's still on the throne. You say, in the midst of pain? In the midst of suffering? In the midst of trouble? Well, ask Job. Why don't you go home and read through the book of Job? Remember, Job lost it all. Sons and daughters and cattle and sheep. Job said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Job, covered with open sores and boils, declared, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Listen to what old Job says in chapter 23. But God knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I have not departed from his commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. But he stands alone, and who can oppose him? He does whatever he pleases. Amen. In other words, Job was saying, the sovereignty of God, the sovereignty of God, the Father is at work in you, but we don't want to hurt, do we? You know, we don't want pain. Whatever situation you find yourself in, child of God, the Father is at work in you, but we don't want to deny ourselves. We don't want to take up our cross and follow him. I want to assure you that in the midst of your trouble, and I got to preach it myself on this one because I don't like being in trouble. Whatever it might be, if you will just swallow this pill, if you will swallow this tablet and live in the truth of God's sovereign hand at work in your life, it'll literally change your life. It'll revolutionize your whole mental attitude toward life. The sovereign hand of God is at work in your life, in your family, in this church, even in this denomination. God is working. We cannot blame everything on the devil. I know there's spiritual warfare. I know we have to flee the devil. But if you're a child of God, if you've given your life to God, God's in charge of your life. He is sovereign. And Romans 28 is true. Otherwise, let's throw that verse away. All things, good, bad, and ugly, work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The sovereignty of God. We got to remember that. We have to remember that. One more tablet of truth. You're not alone. Look at verse 16. I will ask the Father, he'll give you another. That word another, it's like another, but yet the same. I'll give you another counselor. Some versions say helper. To be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. You're not alone. Listen, the most devastating, like demoralizing, paralyzing thought that you can entertain when your heart is troubled is, I'm all alone. I mean, isn't that true? And that's the first step toward, I think, a gross self-pity. You know, I'm all alone. And then the next step, nobody cares. You know, I'm all alone, and now nobody cares. Christian, if you were to come into my office for counsel, I think the very best counsel I could give you, when you say, I feel all alone, is no, 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 you are never alone. You have been given the Holy Spirit. And when you come to know Christ, that Holy Spirit, God Himself, comes to live inside of you. That very word counselor or helper, it means one called alongside to help. Think about it. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Whenever, wherever. It might be a hospital room. It might be a mission work in another country. It might be in your home. It might be right here in this church. It might be with a sick child facing death, standing by a fresh grave, battling addictions. You have an inner helper. And he has been called alongside to do a work of comfort like nobody else can. You know, I'm not saying it's just, you know, Lone Ranger Christian. We need the church. We need people, brothers and sisters in Christ. But we need to remember that God Himself is living in those who claim His name. Jesus said to those disciples, He lives with you and will be in you. And ever since the day of Pentecost in the first century, that's where the Holy Spirit lives, in the hearts of believers in Jesus Christ. You are not alone, Christian. Jesus said, surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. You are not alone, Christian. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So what are you afraid of? Are you afraid? Is your heart troubled today? Can you swallow these pills? Can you swallow these four tablets of truth found here in John chapter 14? Number one, a personal faith and a personal God will bring personal relief. Number two, while preparing a place for us, He's preparing us for a place. Number three, the sovereign hand of God is at work in your life. And number four, you're not alone. That is God's treatment, really, for a troubled heart. Tablets of truth, but will you take them? You won't take him if you don't trust the doctor. Believe me. And why should you trust Dr. Jesus? Let me illustrate. February 15th, 1921. New York City. The operating room of a hospital. A doctor is performing an appendectomy, and his name is Dr. Evan O'Neill Kane. And in his distinguished 37 year medical career, he has performed nearly 4,000 appendectomies. So this surgery will be kind of uneventful in all ways except two. And the first novelty of this operation, the use of local anesthesia in major surgery. Dr. Kane is a crusader against the hazards of general anesthesia, and he contends that a local application is far safer. Many of his colleagues agree with him in principle, but in order for them to agree in practice, they'll have to actually see this theory applied. And so Dr. Kane, he searches for a volunteer, a patient who's willing, you know, to undergo surgery while under local anesthesia. And a volunteer is not easily found. I mean, many are kind of squeamish, you know, at the thought of being awake during their own surgery. Others are fearful that the anesthesia might wear off a little bit too soon. And eventually, however, Dr. Kane finds a candidate. On Tuesday morning, February 15th, the historic operation occurs. And the patient is prepared, wheeled into the operating room, and a local anesthetic is applied. And as he has done thousands of times, Dr. Kane dissects the superficial tissues and locates the appendix. And he skillfully removes it and concludes the surgery. And during the procedure, the patient complains only of minor discomfort. The volunteer is taken into post-op and then placed in a hospital ward, and he recovers quickly and is dismissed only 2 days later. Dr. Kane has proven his theory thanks to the willingness of a brave volunteer. Dr. Kane demonstrated that local anesthesia was a viable and even preferable alternative. But I said there were two facts that made this surgery unique. And I've told you the first fact, and that's the use of a local anesthesia. The second is the patient. The courageous candidate for surgery by Dr. Kane was Dr. Kane. To prove his point, he operated on himself. Wise move. The doctor became a patient in order to convince the patients to trust the doctor. That's a true story. You say, well, that's kind of hard to believe. Maybe it is, but the story of the doctor who became his own patient is nothing compared to the story of the God who became a human without ceasing to be God. But Jesus did, so that you and I would believe that the healer knows our hearts and our hurts, and he voluntarily became one of us, and he placed himself in our position, and he suffered our pains, and he felt our fears. Rejection, he felt it. Temptation, he knew it. Loneliness, he experienced it. Death, he tasted it. Daily problems, he could write a best-selling book about it. Why did he do it? One reason. So that when you hurt, and when you have a troubled heart, you will go to him, your father and your physician, and you'll let him heal. You know, the Old Testament, the old prophet points ahead 700 years and says, surely he took up our infirmities, surely he carried our sorrows, and yet we considered him smitten by God, stricken by God, and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. Maybe you have a burden today. After the benediction, I would like to invite anybody that has a troubled heart in any way to come. And, you know, I just bought some new anointing oil at Bethlehem. And I want to use it. If anybody, you know, that's what the Bible says in James. Hey, is anybody in trouble? James 5, let him pray. Anybody's happy, let him sing songs. If anybody is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him anoint with oil and pray. And if you would like that, we'll have a time of that after the service. You come and you take your burden to the Lord and just leave it there. Ephesians 3, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Amen. Let's pray. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Jesus, we want to trust you today with our troubled hearts. Death and disease trouble us. And so we come to you as the resurrection and the life. Daily problems trouble us, and so we come to you as the bread of life. Our daily food, our strength, our disobedience troubles us, and so we come to you as our Savior, the one who died in our place for our sins on the cross to forgive us, to set us free. And we're so glad your grace is greater than our sin, than our grief, than our loneliness. Your grace is enough for every situation, even as we present our children to you, Lord, and we minister to our children through child evangelism, through VBS, Lord, and we promise after that to lead those children into a personal relationship with you by our life and lips. Lord, your grace is always enough. Even as folks in faith come for healing, Lord, to be anointed with oil in the name of the Lord, your grace is enough. Even a shut-in who is feeling lonely, but not alone, listening to this service, maybe on the internet, your grace is enough. Even in situations that seem unbearable and impossible, your grace is enough. And we want to believe today, God, that we are weak, but you are strong, strong enough to save the lost and to keep the saved and to mend the brokenhearted. For we pray in the name of Jesus, who said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And who taught us to pray together, saying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And Lord, I thank you for an opportunity to worship you right now with this offering, bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse, just with joy, Lord, hilariously, willfully giving to you, expressing our love to you in this way. Lord, to the end that the word of God might continue to go forth from this church that we call Calvary United Methodist Church. In Jesus' name, amen.